Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy, I felt really in the flow. It's always a pleasure talking to you and being with you. It's nice to be with somebody that's so insightful, that is out there, that is doing such a fantastic job with her podcast, with her business. It's a real pleasure to be on your show and to be with your community. I feel that the topics I covered are quite important, particularly what's happening with COVID. The more people that can understand that it's our mental attitude that changes our lives, that changes the lives of others, that changes the lives of our community, that even changes the lives of our country and our globe, the better our world will be. And this is vital in this time. So to be given this opportunity to talk about this, I feel is a positive for everyone.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today's mentor guest is John Patching. He has a private practice called Intrinsic Self. If you've been listening since 2019, you might remember John from The Wallner's Journey to Acceptance. It's an 8-part series I did with the Wallner family, Alan and Rosemary, and their 3 children on their journey to accept their middle child daughter, Alex, as transgender. So first, Alex needed to accept herself. And each conversation kind of builds on the other. So by the end, you come to understand how Alex's announcement was a transformation that brought the Wallner family closer together. So Rosie, Alan, and Alex participate in all the 8 conversations. And John Patching was visiting from the United Kingdom and joined the conversation as a calming, insightful psychotherapist, nudging the Wallners to examine their inner selves and bring out their true selves during their individual journeys of self-acceptance. The Wallners revolutionized their lives and their business. And so I will include the 8-part series for a reminder for those of you who listened at that time. And for those new listeners, if you're a new listener, you can listen also and find the episodes in the episodes resource section of the show notes. Hey, John, where in the world are you?
Well, it's dark here. It's gone 6 o'clock at night, so
yeah, I'm a bit 6-hour time difference.
Yes, bit different. So I'm in the UK and I'm in Oxfordshire. So nice to speak to you, Nancy, and thank you for inviting me onto your show.
Absolutely. Today, we're going to focus on how you lead through the eyes of your intrinsic self. And of course, I always ask every guest, how are you feeling today?
I'm Nancy.
What?
I'm feeling good, very positive, slightly nervous. I mean, if you're going to go on to a talk show, of course, you're going to get a few nerves, but that's good in the end because it fires you up, really, doesn't it?
That's right. So John Patching is an experienced life coach, meditation tutor, and holistic therapist. His success lies in his ability to develop a very trusting, open, and deeply caring rapport with his clients. John places great emphasis on uncovering the causes of a client's issues to achieve lasting, successful outcomes. He believes in helping his clients master their mental processes to become the best version of themselves. John enables his clients to access the power within themselves to move forward confidently toward lasting well-being. Empowering individuals through teaching them techniques such as mindfulness will help them achieve long-term well-being once therapy is ended. John is currently, as you heard, based in Oxfordshire, and he's performing in-person and remote therapy sessions via video conference. John helps individuals worldwide, and he's got a BA with honors diploma and certification in hypnotherapy. He's the managing director of Intrinsic Self and Transgender Therapy, and he also is a neuro-linguistic programmer, chronic healer, and he also practices other energy therapies. Whew! Welcome, John.
That was a lot to say, wasn't it, Nancy?
It was, but you know, I want to give, you know, each listener enough of a background about you so that they have an understanding of where you're coming from.
Well, as long as they haven't switched off from that long intro.
I think they're still tuned in. So we're taping our conversation just as the incredible inauguration of President Joseph R. Biden Jr. and Vice President Kamala Harris have been sworn in. So a time to kind of unite in healing, and it feels already like the energy is really shifting. Were you able to take in any of the inauguration ceremonies?
To be honest, no, I haven't watched any of the inauguration ceremonies. I have quickly looked through the news, and it seems like it was quiet and peaceful, which is what I was hoping for. No storming Capitol Hill, but I haven't actually watched it.
Yeah, well, it's amazing what can happen in 2 weeks of a recovery after the insurrection on January 6th. So, which was incited by our past president, but now we're really embracing unity and focused on our 46th president. So, I have a quote at the end of this year's podcast by William Scott Peck. And it says, emotional sickness is avoiding reality at any cost, and emotional health is facing reality at any cost. Do you believe in that?
Yes, I do. And emotional sickness can also affect the physical body. If you look at it as we are all beings that are made of energy, everything has atoms and energy, and an emotion and a thought is energy. If you constantly have bad thoughts or bad emotional energy, such as anger, guilt, fear, if you don't release these, the last resort is the body. So the body then becomes sick and diseased. So yes, I agree with that quote.
Yeah. And so you speak also from a depth of understanding based on your family of origin as well. So part of leading through the eyes of your intrinsic self is really having a deep understanding of yourself. And so
correct.
I was really interested in what I asked many guests, which is kind of an insightful peer into the person's background. So what are five words that would describe each of your parents that raised you?
Well, if we first look at my dad, it's not very positive, to be honest. I mean, I've had quite a rough upbringing. So I would say my dad was a bully. He was a narcissist. He was always very angry and still is very self-righteous. And he's, I would actually say, a very, very hard worker. So respect for him for being a hard worker.
Okay. And your mother?
Always been very emotionally manipulative. She's very childlike. The childlike thing is good and bad. She's a teacher and she teaches young children. So the childlike behavior aids her with that, but doesn't aid her with tantrums. She's very caring, but can be extremely panicky because she has a childlike personality. She's got an adult's head on her shoulders.
Wow. Yes. Oh, that's a lot to work through. So who else was in your family growing up?
I have a sister, Rowena, who's 7 years younger than me.
Okay. And you, where in England did you grow up?
Well, we had quite a lot of moves when I was a child. My father changed his career from being working in Austin Reed's, which is a menswear tailoring department in a big store, to then realizing he had a call to work for God. So When I was younger, it was quite stable, lived in Harrogate and Leeds, and that's Yorkshire. And then all of a sudden, he decided he had to go to theological college, so we moved to Lincoln. And he was there for 2 years, studying to be a priest. And then after that, we were moving every 3 years. So we moved back to Leeds, which is Yorkshire. And then because both my parents are Southerners and from Oxford, we moved back down to Oxfordshire to look after the two grandparents. Okay. So it's been a mixed bag. I haven't really ever had a firm base. And in fact, that carried on through my life as an adult. And where I'm living now, I've been here the longest, which is 12 years.
Okay. What were some of the coping skills that you had to survive?
Well, the environment of being brought up was like a battlefield. There was a lot of emotional abuse, physical abuse, a lot of screaming and shouting. Both parents are very dramatic in their approach to life. One of them's always, you know, got to win a battle. The other one always trying to win it back. It was that kind of upbringing. So I became quite recluse and spent a lot of my time in my bedroom being quiet. At the beginning, I always wanted to try and fix everything, get between the battleground. But as I grew up, I realized that actually that didn't help things. And it was better to leave them to get on with it unless it got quite physical and just sit it out and read. Or I used to do a lot of daydreaming, to be honest.
Yeah. Right, as a coping mechanism. Yeah, like going to a more pleasant place.
That's right.
Yeah. So when did you start getting like therapeutic help?
I think the first time that I had any form of therapeutic help was when I got taught meditation. I started going to classes when I was in my 20s by a Tibetan Buddhist monk. And he taught me how to meditate. And okay, it was very hard and took me quite a while to learn. But it's the calmest I've ever been. And it meant that I suddenly realized that I didn't have to have the thoughts in my head anymore, that I could choose to just actually let it all go. So I presume that was some kind of therapy. It really helped me. And it's my fallback in all my life is meditation now. And I don't have the thoughts anymore. In fact, most of the time, I'm a complete and utter airhead. So, yeah.
Was there a point where you felt like you self-acceptance? Like I love myself?
I think that came later on. I had a breakdown and went to seek therapy in Berkshire, which is the county next to ours. The woman I met there was really lovely. She was very, very spiritual, like I am, understood the different things I do and could see the family dynamics and how actually I was still holding on to a lot of the emotional and physical abuse that I received as a child. She kind of gave me lots of techniques to let stuff out. And she was really the person that introduced me to some of the hypnotic techniques and made me curious about transpersonal hypnosis. I've always been interested in hypnosis and how you can, I won't say manipulate, but change brain patterns and thoughts without too much effort. Whereas if you're just doing talking therapy, it can take you ages because you talk it over and over and over and you might never, ever get it out. But if you can go to a place of calm and peace within a trance-like state, a lot more can be revealed and a lot more can be let go of.
Mm. And then through learning all of these therapies and modalities to heal yourself, at some point you realized that you would like to help others. When did that kind of transpire?
I've always helped others. When I was quite young, I realized that I had healing hands. It happened when I was at school, really, and there was lots of girls. They were always saying, oh, their tummy hurts and stuff. And I had compassion for this one girl that nobody really talked to. And I just went up to her and I said, can I touch your tummy, please? And I just put my hand on her tummy and sat there very quietly, just feeling the energy flow through me. 5 minutes, no period pain. And I suddenly realized that I kind of had something here, even though I wasn't sure what it was. So that's when I was sort of like in my teenage years. Later on, I had the experience in my 20s of looking after, well, younger than my 20s, of looking after my grandfather and caring for him. I used to go and bath him every Saturday, help him get dressed because he was not physically well, and my grandmother couldn't actually do it for him. And then from that, I did voluntary service in a hospital. And then from that, in my 20s, I went into the care industry, looking after people with mental health problems, learning disabilities, physical and profound needs. And I was in that industry for 15 years. So you can see that I've always had a care background rolling forwards. It was after I finished in the care profession that I actually decided I wanted to do my own business. And I went and learned hypnotherapy. And I learned hypnotherapy not just because of the incident with my therapist, but because accidentally I hypnotized somebody.
Because what happened?
Well, this person, I was talking to them. I've been teaching meditation for about 5 years. And this girl said, well, I really want to know how my mother feels. Mother had just had a stroke and was in the process of trying to learn to speak again and learn to move like a left side. And so I just did what I thought was a meditation. I used the tone of my voice. I set the scene. I convinced her that she was in her mother's body. Well, I put her in that state so that she could feel it. And then I was talking to my friend and she couldn't move. She couldn't talk. She couldn't nothing. So I didn't realize that she couldn't come out of it. And I thought after 10 minutes, she hasn't kind of moved at all. Should I do something here? So I then sort of like reversed it and said, you know, you're now being able to feel your arms, your legs, you can breathe, you feel the room. And I did all of that. And she got back and she said, don't ever do that to me again. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't tell you anything. I said, but did you actually feel what your mother felt like? She said, yes, I did, but don't you do that to me again. So it was then that I realized that actually I should actually train to be a hypnotherapist because I had some kind of skill and there was a way of utilizing this to help people, not only through my learned experience through life and through my healing experiences, but using hypnotherapy as well to help people feel things, to help people understand why they are as they are, to help them heal their inner child and to give positivity to patterns that perhaps are slightly negative and to help them to understand these things and correct them with positive behaviors. So although I actually learned clinical hypnotherapy, my style is very transpersonal. So I don't work on the lines of, oh, you're too fat, I can actually solve that, or you smoke, I can quit you smoking. I never do that kind of work. My kind of work is going into the emotional depths of the person and actually bringing forwards the goodness or alleviating the pain and getting rid of the bad patterns. So it's a lot more transpersonal.
Yeah, and how you kind of distinguish yourself from many therapists is many therapists, they help provide solutions to problems and do not work at a soul level to support individuals to release the trauma. And therapy should be as much about self-learning and discovery as it is about healing, you write on your website. To understand and balance our finely tuned whole, it is first necessary to discover what it is. I am me. Should be the core learning enabled by healing, self-acceptance, and self-love.
Yes, this is right. And this is what I touched on at the beginning when you asked me what I thought of the quote about emotion. We are all mind, body, and soul, and it's all interlinked. And if you have disease in one and you don't let it out, it will eventually come through the body. If you think bad thoughts, you're going to get back what you think. It's all about attitude to yourself and attitude to your life, attitude to your past life and attitude to your future life. And this is what we have to realize. Everything that comes up as an issue is because of something else that was further back. If in therapy you just deal with the presenting issue, you're not going to solve it because it will come up in another presenting issue. And this is what I really feel we need to look at more. This is why I'm different. So when I work with clients, I acknowledge the presenting issue and we work with that, but we also work, where did it come from? And what is the trauma based on? And we're not only talking about trauma from you in your life, but we could be talking about ancestral trauma that's come down your family line, a behavior pattern and something that's been ingrained in you, but you don't necessarily understand it from a cognitive perspective. It's coming emotionally or it's coming as an energetic feeling. So it's a lot deeper than what ordinary talking therapy is about.
Yeah, and I think bridging the gap between the two, it reminds me of like this administration where we're moving on to, you know, unite the country. Well, part of it is going back and healing our past. Like we can't just, like the insurrection that happened on January 6th and the fact that the whole inauguration happened at the Capitol. And I'm using this as an example of something that we're all seeing right now that's easy to, you know, to kind of look at from a different perspective, that it was good that they had the ceremony at the Capitol where the insurrection happened to kind of repair and to send the message that, you know, white supremacist and all these organized several groups that are trying to control the narrative in our democracy, that we're not giving them power. We're not giving them our power. We're actually focused on healing and moving forward, which is what you need. But where do people get tripped up in the process of healing, do you think?
So let's look at healing in a wider sense.
Yeah.
We talked earlier that people are energy, but also thoughts are energy, okay? And also group energy of a group of people, group energy of a country, group energy of a state, group energy of a city.
So the collective group, yeah.
So each area has an energy. So the energy that was of what happened the other week at the Capitol will still be there. And the energy of, you know, Obama in some places will still be there. Energy stays until it's cleared. So healing is a lot more diverse than just one person. It's a healing of a nation. It's a healing of a state. It's a healing of a town. It's a healing of the energy that's in the house when you buy a house from someone else. How many times have you bought a house that's an old house that someone's lived in before and died, and you can come in there and you can feel the energy of the person all the way around you? This is where you have to cleanse that out, heal that out, and then put in a new, vibrant, healing, positive energy. And this is about everything in life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at people as well, people are like milk bottles. You've got to empty out the stale milk before you put the fresh in. Otherwise, what you put in goes stale. That's the same with everything, with democracy, and also with what's happened with Trump and Biden. So I'm really glad that your inauguration went very well. But you have to look at how this all started. And the two characteristics of Trump and Biden and what the people wanted. What did they see in both? And how did it get to where it was before you can actually heal it backwards and then move forwards with a very positive viewpoint? So if you want me to look at Trump, I can. I mean, yes, he's made a lot of publicity over the time that he's been president, hasn't he?
Yeah, right. And he's amassed, you know, this huge following that are, you know, has like transformed their thinking.
But if you look at how Trump is, he's a businessman. He's not a politician and he talks straight. So a lot of people can actually understand him rather than this political way that some people that are in administration and politics speak. It can be very confusing. And he promised to make America great again. Well, people that have felt that they've lost their way or lost the unitedness of their country are going to want somebody that gives them that hope, that gives them something that they understand. So I believe that's why Trump got an awful lot of followers. The problem is he was like the big daddy that was the nasty daddy, and he made a lot of promises, but he didn't fulfill them. And the promises sometimes were just lies. So the country's been let down over and over and over when they put their whole heart and hope in it. you know, mm-hmm. somebody different, somebody refreshing, somebody that can make a difference and make a change. Now we look at Biden. Biden's a lot older, and he comes forward as a grandfather figure, that soft figure that is caring, that is nurturing, that can really heal and soften, that has wisdom.
Well, he's only 4 years older than Trump.
He looks a lot older, I must admit. Maybe it's that cat on Trump's head that makes him look younger, I don't know.
Okay.
But I think with Biden, there is an energy of him that is a lot calmer, that will do a lot of good to take back some of the things that Trump has done that haven't necessarily been so healthy. And I do believe that Biden is for uniting people, for uniting countries, and actually for peacekeeping and following on some of the good work that Obama did.
So how do they clear out the energy like in the Capitol from the insurrection? You know, do you need a healer to come in there to heal that and move that energy on?
I think it really depends on what they believe. I mean, if I was them, I would have somebody that came in and would use scent and smell and healing hands to actually clean the energy out from, what do you call it, the insurrection?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but that's me. And, you know, people believe different things. I mean, even if you just open all the windows and let the fresh air in, it would make a difference. I mean, this is why we open the windows in the morning to let the stale air out and close them at night. It's as simple as that, you know. What you're doing is you're lifting and a positive attitude to taking the energy out and putting new energy in.
Yeah. So if a listener is inspired to clear out some dodgy energy, what would you suggest they use?
Dodgy energy. Right. Okay. Well, I like the way you use dodgy.
Okay. Well, dark energies or
dodgy, Nancy.
Different language. Different way of saying things.
So I do house clearances. So this is like when I said that when somebody's died, you go into a house, you want to cleanse the energy. There might be an apparition or something there. So I would basically use a sage. You can get it on Amazon or quite often lots of shops, and you should be familiar with it. White sage, it does come from your country. It is North American Indian, and it's bound up, and it's a sage smudge stick. And what you do is you light it and you take it up and down all the walls from floor to ceiling, particularly the corners in every single room. I suggest you turn your smoke alarm off because it will set it off, but the smell from the sage will actually purify the house, and the energy vibration will lift quite dramatically. The other thing that's very good, particularly if you're finding it difficult to get rid of energy on yourself, is to have a salt bath. I don't know if you go swimming in the sea, but there's always this feeling when you get in the sea of, oh, and everything's gone. And that's not just because it is the seaside and you are perhaps on holiday. It's because the salt actually cleanses away dirt and debris and negative energy.
Right. So Epsom salt, is that a cleanser?
Yeah, Epsom salt, or you can just use bog standard table salt, the cheapest you can find from the supermarket. That does it as well.
Okay, terrific. Well, who knew we would get into this, but I just think it's really helpful. What are some other suggestions you would have? So there's also this, I'm noticing from all this like negative talk in our world that people have transformed their thinking and have believed in a lot of these lies and deception. And so, you know, it's like their minds have been hijacked. How can they cleanse their minds?
Well, first, they've got to realize that their minds have been hijacked, in inverted commas. The best way to actually calm the mind and to still the inner soul is to meditate, is to just sit and empty and have no thought. If you can train your mind to have no thought and be still, that is what creates inner peace. If you create inner peace in yourself and love in yourself, then that shines out like a candle to everybody else. So that's the first thing I would say, is to actually find peace in yourself. Peace in yourself gives others peace.
Wonderful. Can we do a meditation to close out our conversation today?
Yeah.
Okay. Before we do that, what else would you like to share about your journey toward kind of self-love and inner acceptance? And also, you know, how you work with some of your clients to also heal kind of from trauma, or what populations of people that you work with that you've found particular success with? I know anyone who is open to working with you finds a lot of success. I have. You've been my therapist to help me through last year. So
there's lots of questions in that bit, Nancy.
Yeah. Okay. So just what is coming to you?
Well, firstly, the type of clientele I have, it's across the board. And as you said before, it's worldwide. I have had many things, from somebody that's had ill health and just needs a bit of perk up because they've come out of hospital with an operation, feel they need to go a different way. Somebody that's retired maybe and wants to know where they're at and what their life means and what the purpose of life is about, to somebody that's had a complete breakdown with depression, somebody that's maybe self-harming, somebody that's suicidal, somebody that's transgender. Somebody, sometimes people that are having a bad marriage, a bad time, want a little bit of perspective on what they can do in the marriage, do for themselves. Sometimes I do couple therapy. I'm really open to most things.
Yeah, help people heal from who've been affected by COVID over kind of the long haul, where, you know, it's a new term that they've added to COVID, where, you know, there are long-term effects that some people are experiencing with COVID.
COVID completely destroys your immune system and your energy reserves. So it's all about building your energy up, building your confidence up within your body and within your immune system, and having a very positive attitude towards yourself and towards yourself within life. If you can do that, then the COVID, long COVID, tends to disappear faster. So that is about talking, is about who you are, is about how you see yourself after you've had the COVID. Has it given you a turnaround in your thought? Has it given you one of those bingo moments where you go, oh, I never saw that about myself before. Something's changed. Maybe my life wasn't right before, but now I feel I have to do something. Or it could just be about building your energy up and me giving you healing. And I can do that across Skype. It's not a problem, because energy is energy, and you can be anywhere. And energy has no boundaries within brick walls or countries, or even if I'm in Oxfordshire and you're in the United States, I can still be there for you. Yeah. So it's all about what does the person need, and not what they need now, but what do they need in their core? And this is where some of my Buddhist beliefs come in. We start talking about Dharma. What is your Dharma? What is your true essence? And what is the purpose of your life right now? And a lot of my healing that I do is very, very in-depth. It's deep healing to the soul. Mm-hmm. And to why you were here in this lifetime. And there's lots of processes to go through. And yeah, sometimes that's too much for people. Sometimes they just want more of a surface. But some people are so interested and really want to get into it that I will actually start teaching them how to heal and teaching them how to be as one in the moment with the meditation, with the spirituality, with the actual centeringness of themselves in their life and in their surrounding world. So we go as deep as you want me to go, really. And there really isn't anything that I won't have a go at. It's all about therapeutic rapport as well. I mean, if I am the right person for you, we will know in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You will feel comfortable.
Well, the next time I have a aha moment, I will use the word bingo. Bingo!
Wait, that's funny,
that's
doesn't
a great
it?
Way bingo! To say it. Well, fantastic. So
I just want to say before I do the meditation,
yeah,
that despite us having so much going on in life at the moment, in the countries, in ourselves, in our towns, in our cities, I want to say be inspired. Be inspired in the now. do the things that you want to do now, because you don't know when you're going to get your next moment. And if you're not inspired for yourself, for your life now, when will you be?
Mm.
Never give up on yourself. Never give up on yourself. Be inspired.
Excellent. Now I'm ready to relax. And so everybody find a comfortable seat. Or if you're driving, just pull over for this segment.
So what I would suggest is people sit with their feet on the floor, their back very straight, and just put your hands in your lap, one hand on top of the other, a very relaxed pose. What I wouldn't like you to do is to recline in the chair, because that makes you slump. I want you to have a very straight back so you can feel the energy come in and out. But that doesn't mean you have to sit like a poker so it's uncomfortable. So try and find the medium between the two, okay?
Pull your belly button forward a little.
That's it. That's it. So I'm going to do a standard meditation that I do for all my clients. And you might want to actually do this for yourself later, because this is a place that I create of peace and calm for my clients. I urge them always to go back to it when they need that moment of being with themselves and of just resting. So what I want you to do is I want you to imagine that you're on the top of a staircase. I want you to look at your feet as you're standing there. I want you to wriggle your toes and feel whether it's carpet, marble, or floorboards. Then I want you to put your hand, your left hand, on the banister. And again, I want you to feel whether it's brass, wood, or painted. As you look down the staircase, you can see a very long window on the right-hand side. There's shafts of light going across the bend in the staircase that turns to the left. And as you look at it, you can see the particles of dust floating, illuminated by the light coming through the window. We're now going to descend the staircase. I'm going to count you five steps down. On the fifth step, we'll arrive at the bend in the staircase. And at that point, we will pause. One, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now I want you to pause, and I want you to feel your feet on the bend in the staircase, and I want you to breathe in deeply, and then breathe out. And as you breathe out, feel all the stress, all the heaviness of the day, everything that you feel that you're carrying, release. We're going to breathe in and breathe out three times. Breathe in again. Relax and release. And breathe in again. Relax and release. So as you're stood there on the bend in the staircase, the sunlight is shining in through the window. And there's a warmth and a glow on your crown, on your head. And you can feel the warmth of the sunshine on your shoulders and going down your back. It's relaxing. And you smile at yourself. And really smile and feel that smile in your heart as you smile. With each smile, you can feel yourself relaxing further, allowing yourself to relax, letting go. There are five more steps to the bottom of the staircase, and we're now going to descend again, going deeper with each step we take. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now you feel really, really relaxed. In front of you, there is a door, and it's a special door. It leads to a garden. But first, we're going to feel the door and touch the door, because we want to remember this door. So I want you to picture the door. Is it a paneled door, a wooden door, a metal gate? What type of door is it? Feel the knob or the handle and touch the architrave that goes round the door. It's important to feel as well as see, and to listen in this meditation. Very slowly, open the door a crack, and as you do, see the sunlight shining through the crack in the door. It is bright, very bright. Now open the door fully, and as you stand there, you have to blink because it's so bright light. But as you breathe it deeply, you can smell the flowers. You can smell the newly mown grass. You can feel the breeze on your cheek and the sun hitting your face and your body. Step further into the garden for me. Step onto the grass. Curl your toes into the grass and feel the ground beneath your feet. Feel yourself grounded and centered. Feel yourself relaxed. Breathe in further. Smell the aromas and the perfume of the garden. To the left and to the right, there is roses, flowers, plants, greens, reds, blues, yellows, oranges, all the colours of the rainbow. And at the end of the garden is a very tall willow tree. The breeze is soft, and you can see gently how the tree moves. The leaves flutter. The sky is bright blue, and the sun is high, and it beats down on you and warms you. It's not too hot, and it's not too cold. There are a few clouds that move across the sky, but they're moving gently. Feel yourself relaxing as you absorb the sensation, the warmth, the slight breeze, the feeling of the ground beneath you, the sounds of birds singing, and the sounds of the bees buzzing. Look around the garden, it's your garden. Look at the butterflies as they go from one flower to the next. Some flowers have no butterflies. Some flowers are opening. Some flowers are fully open. Look over there to the right. There is a butterfly sat on the flower. Watch it slowly opening and closing its wings. It is warming itself just like you are. Opening, closing its wings. See the bees as they're going from one to another, collecting lots and lots of nectar. Now pick a flower in the garden, one that intrigues you, and go over to it. I want you to touch it gently, touch the petals, smell its aroma, then touch the stalk. Is the stalk spiny? Is it fluffy? Is it smooth? And what shape are the leaves? Leaves come in different colours and shapes, different textures. We all think that green is green, but in a garden there's many hues of green. Notice this. Notice all the fine detail. This garden is for looking at, for smelling, for being in. It is a place of tranquility and calm. It is a place where you can just completely relax in nature and just be. Go and explore your garden for a while. Feel your garden, smell your garden, touch your garden, see your garden, hear the sounds of the birds and the bees. Be with it totally. I'll be silent for a few seconds and let you do this. Now sit on the grass for me, and as you sit on the grass, put your hands in the grass and feel the blades of the grass between your fingers. Sit there quietly and peacefully. Close your eyes. Just feel the sun beating on your crown, on your shoulders, on your back, on your tummy. Just be still. With each breath you take, allow yourself to relax deeper and further. Going down, relaxing more and more. Letting yourself go to a place of complete calm. So you can stay in this garden as long as you like, and you can practice this meditation when you like to. And you can meet people in this garden as well and talk to them. This is a place of healing and serenity. But at this time, we're going to leave the garden. So I want you to stand up, and I want you to move your fingers through the flowers and the plants, giving them love as you do, saying thank you for being here, for being my garden. As you do so, move forwards towards the door. When you get to the door, turn and look at the garden one last time and be grateful for the garden, for its healing, for its space, for its calmness. Now open the door and go through the door. In front of you is the bottom of the staircase. And I now want you to climb the staircase, please. Hold the banister, and with each step that you take, you're going to feel invigorated, enlivened, good, happy, joyous. And I'll count you up the staircase. When you get to the top of the staircase, you're going to be able to move your fingers and your toes and open your eyes slowly. Are we ready? There are 10 steps. Okay, here we go. Hold on to the banister. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Open your eyes, please, and move your fingers and your toes. Take your time and have a sip of water. So this meditation is something you can do any time at all. And you can go to the garden when you want and make it your own by planting flowers, by putting in a bench, a swing. It's something that you can add to all the time and claim as your own. And that's why it's such a beautiful meditation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I do feel more energized and happy. Yeah.
Good, I'm glad.
Yeah, I needed a little energy cleansing. Very good. Well, thank you so much for your generous spirit, John, and for your insights and for another way to kind of look at what we're going through from an energy perspective and the beautiful meditation. I just thought it was deeply grounding.
Thank you so much, Nancy. It's been a pleasure to be on your show, and I hope the people listening have enjoyed it as much as I have being on here.
Oh, excellent. All right, and I'll have your contact information in your bio section of the podcast show notes. So if people feel inclined, they can contact you directly. And thank you for listening. And thank you, merci beaucoup, mon frère de notre mère, brother from another mother. All right. So thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to evolve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our We Mentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through wementor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a We Mentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in We Mentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, nancy@wementor.com, or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening, and we'll see you next week.